Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? That's the response that Jesus tells his parents after they've been anxiously searching for him for 3 days, when they discovered that he's not in the caravan after the Passover festivities when they're coming back from Jerusalem. And to most parents who are probably in this church, that would be a pretty bold statement for a child to make. Why are you looking for me? And it's also admittedly quite a response from Mary and Joseph to take and accept that in the way that they do. And what we're reminded of in this exchange is that our lives are not our own. That Jesus had a mission. His mission was to be as the Son of God. And he was called to fulfill that mission. But his parents also had to let him fulfill that mission. And letting go is probably one of the hardest things that parents have to do. Your child is born into the world. They're born both naturally and then also supernaturally through their baptism. And they're always God's children. That's what St. John reminds us in our second reading. We know that they are a gift and children of God. But what parents don't know, as St. John also tells us, is that what they shall be has not yet been revealed. They know that they are children of God, and they have a purpose, they have a call to holiness for their life, but you don't know what that exact mission is for your child. You don't know what their exact purpose is. And so the Holy Family can be a model as parents. Jesus is obedient to them. He goes home with them. He grows in wisdom and age. And of course, Jesus was God. He didn't have to receive anything extra from his parents, but he had to develop at the proper human time to be able to fulfill his mission at the proper time, which would take about 30 years before he would begin his public ministry. And up to that point, he's living quietly in Nazareth, in the home of Jesus and Mary. And so your role as parents is to fulfill the promises that you made both at your wedding, but also at the baptism of your children, which is to raise them according to the Catholic faith and the laws of the church. Your role is to educate them that they are a gift from God. Not only that they are a gift from God, but they have the gift of faith. And to help them to use the freedom that God has given them well. To help them to know the good, but also to choose the good and avoid evil. And as parents, just as Mary and Joseph did, you should have some anxiety about your children. Now, this is not the kind of anxiety that we might be thinking of. It's more of a kind of concern, a caring for their well-being, especially their spiritual well-being, rather than a lack of trust in God, which anxiety can often produce in us. It's a healthy concern to make sure that your children are following in the ways of the Lord. And that healthy concern, that healthy anxiety, is what parents need. Because often what parents want is control of their children. They want their children to have free will, but not really have free will. And the truth is that your children have free will, and they need to be educated about how to use that free will as a gift from God. That means teaching them how to be disciples of Christ, how to live a virtuous life, how to lead them into prayer, guiding them through the moral law of the church, and again, teaching them how to desire the good and to avoid sin. And to do that, children need to learn how to be obedient. And this is not a strong-armed, rigid way of obedience, but obedience, in fact, the root of the word actually means to listen. They need to learn how to listen to those that are in authority, those that are in charge of their human formation. But most importantly, they need to learn how to listen to the Lord, to hear his voice in all things, to have a well-formed conscience in all things. And then once a parent has taught their children these things, then the parent's job is to let them go, and fulfill the mission that God has given to them. And admittedly, there are some difficult things that can go with that. So I just want to highlight a couple of those things. First is that the mission that you might envision for your child might be different than the Lord's mission for your child. You might see your child doing one thing with their life, maybe in academics or sports or career or even in vocation, and the Lord may have a completely different plan for them, may have a different direction for them. Your kids may be called to be husbands and fathers, or they might also be called to be a priest or religious, or your daughters might be called to be mothers and wives, but they could also be called to be religious sisters too, and to be open to that, even though you might have a vision one way or the other. And so what parents need to pray for is an open heart, to pray that they can accept whatever that mission is that God has given their children. Wherever your child needs to be in the Father's house. But children should also pray for their parents, that their parents can also be open and recognize their mission as well. And if you approach your parents and have maybe a different vision of that mission than they do, to give them time to adjust to that mission. I can remember in my own call to priesthood, it initially surprised my parents, and they had to adjust. For a while I discerned, then for a while I was discerning something else, and when I was over here, they were over there. And so sometimes it just takes time before you can kind of get on the same page. But to pray that their parents can do that, and parents, your children can also do the same thing. The other difficult thing is that children may also use their freedom badly. They might make a wrong decision. They might make a sinful decision. They might even decide to walk away from the faith altogether. And when that happens, that can be very disappointing. It can make parents feel like they have failed in their mission as parents, that they've done everything that they could, but it still wasn't enough. It can also cause pain and suffering in a child's life when they live out those consequences, whatever that choice may be. The first thing I would say to parents, though, is don't believe that lie that you failed in your mission as a parent, because that's not coming from God. That's coming from the enemy. And I have to admit that I don't have an easy answer to this problem when children decide to walk away. It's very challenging, I must admit. Priests also can have a very similar experience when they can watch people grow in the faith. Maybe a child they baptized or went through the sacraments of the church, and they even discipled, and that person decides to walk away or pursue something else. But I would continue to do two things as a parent if this happens. The first is to keep praying for your children. Never stop praying for your children. Pray for them every day and offer sacrifice for them. The other thing I would offer is to keep affirming them, especially affirming their goodness. Affirm that God loves them as who they are, as children of God, and that they never lose that identity. They may be further away from God at some times in their life than others, but to know that they never lose that identity, and to keep on loving them no matter where they might go. It doesn't mean that you have to affirm all of their decisions or all of their actions, but love them as a child of God. It's also not a straight line either, often, in a child's life. In my own faith journey, I wandered away a little bit in college, and praise God that my parents continued to love me, continued to pray for me, especially my mom. And eventually, from that, I got back on the road that I needed to be. So never stop praying and never stop loving your children. Finally, another way to look at it is that the Lord could also be stretching your own heart. Remember that Jesus was missing for 3 days, the same amount of time that he undergoes his passion, death, and resurrection. And this was a time of, we could look at it, as a time of preparation for Mary, who would need to undergo suffering to prepare her heart as she would stand with her son at the foot of the cross, his most important saving mission. She had to be prepared for that. And so what suffering does is it stretches our hearts. It can open our hearts. And so it's possible that the Lord might be preparing you might be preparing your child for something, even though you may not understand at the moment. Know that the Lord is using that to help you and to maybe help them. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Jesus' response was not completely understood in the moment by Mary and Joseph, but it was necessary for him to fulfill his mission.